Blog Talk Radio.
Because the Most High has allowed us to stay alive and toward Chaim, instructions of life, toward Chesed, instructions of kindness, toward Rachamim, instructions of mercies. This is the 166th class of Soul class, Soul being an acronym for, S70O, this original, you, Universal Laws, the seven Noahid Commandments, the seventh B'nai Noach. I want to start the show, first of all, by acknowledging that we started the show with playing from Isaac Baton's Here Comes the Time from Generation Redemption CD. And also I want to state two public apologies. A good friend, Mordechai Sontag, out in Oroville, California, is trying to reach me. And I'm sorry, Mordechai, we're trying to do the show right now, and hopefully we'll continue our discussions about matters of heaven and earth, soul and body in the future. Also, I want to publicly acknowledge a mistake in my initial effort. By the way, I was given by permission by Elie Shevabar, who lives in Tel Aviv, Israel, Eretz Israel, the land of Israel, Eretz HaKodesh, the Holy Land, Eretz Zava, Chalava Davash, the land flowing with milk and honey, full of positive meditations for all the nations in this generation, soulful revelations. I made a mistake when I read from the first page of her introduction to her seminal work, Torah for Gentiles, Messianic Implications of the B'nai Noah Laws. And why am I admitting this mistake publicly, blessed souls? Because it's part of Torah learning to admit one's mistakes, especially when I had made that mistake in a public forum, meaning this humble effort here, via Blessed Blog Talk Radio. And I mentioned the six B'nai Noah prohibitions, deal with the most basic and stringent jobs, strongest drives embedded in man's very nature. And I jumped back to the time of Adam, because there were originally Adamic or prohibitions given to Adam, and there were five, not including, according to one opinion, the law of eating a limb of an animal that's still alive. But Elie Sheva corrected me through email that she said, to, you know, because she was dealing with the context of what was commanded to the tzaddik, Noach ish tzaddik. So let's just publicly acknowledge that mistake. I apologize, and hopefully my reading of the text, and I practiced a little bit, so hopefully it will be a little smoother in the 10 minutes that we have left on this humble effort today, will be error-free. Although, as it says in Psalms, who can foresee one's mistakes? So let's go now right into it, blessed souls, and let's remind ourselves that we were given a habitat ever so perfect as the Garden of Eden, where, this is page 2 from the introduction to Torah for Gentiles, Messianic Implications of the B'nai Noah Laws, even in as perfect a habitat as the Garden of Eden, where man, the original man, Adam, HaRishon, committed his first transgression, man, and therefore we also include woman, because man and woman are one unit, as a family unit, the foundation of society on the human experience level. So man and woman need to be limited in his or her most fundamental urges, which in themselves are necessary in order to build, maintain, advance, and make prosper all human activities. If uncontrolled and unrestrained, instead of yielding goodness, these basic drives become the causes of mankind's sufferings and destructions, for violence is nourished by the greed for money and power. Immorality is nurtured by gleeful delights, and crime is bred by uncontrolled frustrations. In the story of creation, every transgression or sin, as written in the book, is meant by the prohibition of, quote, eating, unquote, singled out because the need for food is the most urgent and basic of all needs. According to the decreasing rank of severity in a scale of offenses against God, there are 7 B'nai Noah commandments. Number 1, the prohibition of idolatry. It limits man's ambition to possess divine omniscience, as was the snake's tempting promise to Adam, as one scientist, properly named Seed, said, quote, cloning and the reprogramming of DNA is the first serious step in becoming one with God, end of quote. And this was published in the Washington Post January 7th, 1998. And Elisheva adds, such an ambition stems from a presumptuous self-image. The second prohibition is the prohibition of blasphemy. But this prohibition limits the rebelliousness of the Creator towards his Creator itself, an inherent consequence of his having free will. So therefore, because we have free will, we can unfortunately spill to the negative side of blaspheming the Creator. Heaven forbid. May we not know of this heinous transgression. Then the next prohibition is the prohibition of murder. This prohibition limits man's violence, in itself a vital necessity in his fight for life. It's very interesting. Elisheva then wrote in the 5 L's of murder, being love, loathing, lust, loot, and lack. Any transgression of one of the prohibitions is opening to murder. And in her humility, Elisheva publicly, again, and this is in the spirit of Torah learning and implementation, that she mentioned that she forgot where she called this source from, and she begged pardon from the author of this original teaching. Now, she mentioned that he listed 4 L's that I just listed. I have made the list mine by adding a 5th, which was the one that she added was lack, in order to fit the number to the 6 B'nai Noah, or Noahide prohibitions, in which he overlooked as a component of the motivation to murder. The next prohibition is forbidden relations, and this serves to put a limit to man's sexual drive, which, as alluring song has it, it is what makes the world go round. The next prohibition is the prohibition of theft. It limits man's greed and trains him to respect his fellow's property, which is the stuff societies are made of. The next prohibition, blessed souls, is the prohibition of eating a limb torn from a living animal. This inhibits human beings' ferocity inherent, or I should say ferocity inherent to hunger, so we become ferocious when we get hungry, as witnessed in times of distress and starvation, when man would feed on anything that is not bread. And bread here, Elisheva points out, is actually something which stands for anything that is edible. Then the next prohibition, or actually the seventh, not last but not least, of the 7 Noahide commandments, is the obligation to establish courts to judge and punish transgressors. This not only serves the need to do justice and maintain order. It is also the sine qua non condition which seals the moral intention of those prohibitions into a living reality, a reality that lives in our daily lives, blessed souls. These commandments are generalities. For example, I'd just like to interject here with my own thoughts, blessed souls. Recently, we those of us who learned one chapter a day of Rambam from his Mishnah Torah learned about the laws of idolatry. And at the beginning of the heading, the laws of idolatry, the Rambam's Mishnah Torah, that he mentions that in this prohibition there are contained, or in this section of Mishnah Torah, two positive mitzvahs and 49 negative commandments which one should avoid transgressing. So though we see one prohibition here being the prohibition of idolatry, but if we go deeper into the Torah, it subdivides into different categories and how one can avoid it and how one can go about eradicating idolatry from the creation. And this makes sense, for Elisheva continues in the introduction, for Israel, each one is subdivided in a number of details which might, but often don't apply to Bnei Noah. And I will indicate some of these differences for comprehension, being understood that this essay is intended to explain the law and not to make halachic decisions. I will also demonstrate that the Bnei Noah legislation has no legal application today. However, the study of this section of the Torah may serve as personal guidance and prepare for the time when it will be implemented. And this is something actually the Lubavitcher Rebbe mentioned as well, that we're not going to see in the times of exile, the human exile condition for the nation of Israel or for the children of Noah, the full implementation, full revelation of living these type of lifestyles until the Messianic era. With that being said, blessed souls, that concludes our part two of Reasonings for the Nations, reading from Elisheva's Torah for Gentiles, Messianic Implications of the Bnei Noah Laws, and in the spirit of Sfirat HaOmer, we'd like to conclude with a song I discovered just yesterday, and I played it on my tutorial with Rabbi Eliezer Goldstock, Getting to the Heart of the Matter, which was Soul Class number 168, which you can get, see it's in our archived section in Blessed Block Talk Radio cyberspace. And this is called The Maccabees Go the Distance. It's a cappella, meaning there's no music. What sounds to be music is really just human endeavors to make sounds that sound like music. So let's all go to the distance, to the universe redemption. Ahava chad, one love, gorel chad, one destiny, lukulano, for all of us. Bedarchi nom, in a pleasant way, udarchi shalom. Take care, everyone. Thank you.
will say